Those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of Greenwich Streets. I'm Russell Pruner, here along with my co-host, Mark Pruner. We're both realtors here in Greenwich working at Compass Real Estate. We bring to you the best of our hometown, Greenwich, Connecticut, and what's happening in the world of real estate. Mark, interesting times in the Greenwich real estate market.
It really is. Right now, we are at the lowest level we have ever had, ever. The previous low was 291 listings in December of 1991, and then that was pre-COVID. And then right now we're at 134. So we're at half of what our previous all-time low was. Last year we peaked at 227 single-family home listings, and now we're down almost 100. In fact, at one point we were down 100. Last week we actually, on January 3rd, we actually hit 124 listings. Finished out the week at 130. We picked up four more. So, yeah, it's just shocking. And on the flip side, even with this little bit of inventory, we're still seeing sales and contracts.
Yeah, I've read a couple articles over the weekend, and we're starting to see some more positive, I think, news about real estate, not just in Greenwich but nationwide, where you're starting to see inventory levels grow and not the activity. Their buyers equally out there. The demand is still incredibly high. But the buyers are saying, look, the interest rates have almost doubled and our buying power isn't quite as high as it was. If the right thing comes on, there's plenty of buyers that are there for to be had. But at the same time, it's one of those situations where if they don't like it, they'll let it sit. And we're starting to see something that was sort of a misnomer for a long time until we got into the fourth quarter of last year. We're starting to see price reductions.
You see winter price reductions, and if your house has been on since October 1, you definitely want to be thinking about a price reduction. There are people out there at all levels. We had a 16 Deer Park Lane just went to contract at $14.95 million. The one weak part of our market is that, and in fact, even when you get one sale like that, or in this case it's a contract, you'll see the months of supply drop from 24 to 19 months just because a couple of sales. Last year we only had nine over $10 million make a big difference. We also had two sales between 4 and 5 and one sale around $5 million. Those are contracts. Two between four and five, a five and a $15 million. And then on the sales side, we've had 16 sales so far this year. One of them was under $1 million, and two were over $5 million. And we only have, as I said, 134 listings. Our 16 sales represent 12% of the market going selling, and then we have another 12 contracts on top of that, which is about 9%. So the market is actually moving. It's just there's very little of the market to move.
Yeah, I think there are three things really that we're going to deal with this year. I think people are finally realizing that interest rates are not going to go back to the lows of the 2% and 3%. If we get the yield curve to uninvert, as I've talked to a number of mortgage people, we're going to see that there will be options for a 5-year, a 10-year ARM or something, 7-year ARM, that might be a great alternative for a lot of people who, want to try to capture that lower rate. It will have a chance to reset, at the end of that term of being fixed. But, I think that's going to signal some buying power, some people. The other thing, too, is, if people weren't paid at the end of the year on Wall Street, you're going to see them get paid in the months of January and everybody paid by the beginning of February. So, you know, it's going to be people, as they usually are going to be flush with cash if they're going to buy a house. But the key thing is really the third most important is our market moves when other market moves. So as Westchester starts to pick up, and especially New York City, I think we're going to see a lot of those people want to come in. It's amazing. I mean, we were with some people over the weekend, and they were astonished at how low our taxes are in the town of Greenwich. And, you know, again, as we told them, you pay up to get into Greenwich. But once you're in Greenwich, the cost of living here, at least from a standpoint of taxes, is a lot less.
Yeah, I always call it a cruise ship. If you've ever been on a cruise, they give you a fairly small cabin, but every morning they shove a legal size piece of paper with probably 50 things to do under the door and 11 different meal times, starting at 5 a.m. and finishing up at 4 a.m. the next day. So yeah, Greenwich has a lot to do. We've got the beaches, we've got the libraries, we've got a really good town government. We'll be talking to Fred Camillo here in just a little bit about just how great the town government is, and we've got a lot of things to attract people. Now, you can get more house for less money in Westchester, but you're going to be paying a lot more taxes for that. So what we sometimes see is younger folks who have prospects of increasing income buy in Westchester, and then when they become empty nesters or retire, they move to Greenwich for the lower taxes since they're paying them out of their savings.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention to people, I mean, we've just done, Mark, myself, and Tim Agro have just done a new website called Greenwich Streets, and we did a four-minute video that we dubbed Why Greenwich. And, you know, for those people who lived in Greenwich, as well as the people that might be thinking about buying in Greenwich, I would tell you to go to GreenwichStreets.com, go to About, the first thing is Why Greenwich, and watch that. I think it's going to, you know, really, I think, solidify to a lot of people why they chose Greenwich and have lived here for a long time, and remind them of the number of things that our town does offer. But especially for those people that don't know a lot about Greenwich, it will give you a quick overview of sort of what to expect when you live here and all that's offered in the town with these incredibly low property taxes.
If you have a friend who's thinking about moving here, you can just send them a link to that. And then we also have all of these radio shows up at Greenwich Streets. There are podcasts you can subscribe to on Apple or Google or Spotify, whatever you happen to use for your podcast. So the majority of people use the one I like, which is Spotify. And you can just send them a link to that, and they can keep up with what's going on in Greenwich. We've got a bunch of subscribers, and about half of them are from outside Greenwich.
Yeah.
So, and you also can catch them here on WGCH.com. They preserve each of our shows, as well as our fellow real estate folks who we had on last year. Gideon Fountain and Jonathan Wilcox have your Greenwich home. And
they were on last week. We had a great time. Yeah, we had a great time with them last week to talk a little bit about what to expect. I'm going to give the people that are on the market a little bit of advice. I think it's really important that you get your listing broker and you basically do a new, what they call CMA or comparative market analysis, only using those sales that have happened from September 1st.
And I didn't even go October 1st.
Yeah, maybe October 1st, that are going to really represent what the new market is really all about. And the reason I say that is we're going to start to see inventory come on. And there are a lot of people that have been waiting out there, have saved listings online, and basically are watching what the sellers are willing to do that are on the market right now. As this inventory comes on, everybody only had really one chance to really make a first impression. And I think that the new listings are going to get so scrutinized by these buyers that have been in the market that are incredibly well-versed in their price range, in their area of Greenwich, that if you're not competitively priced as you go in, you're going to get gobbled up and just, it's new inventory is just going to pile on top of you. And, you know, you're going to have only one buyer. And when you only have one buyer in any given market, you're sort of at the grace of the buyer, unless you want to go back to the market, and that might not be a good choice.
Yeah, but, you know, there is the holy grail of this buyer who walks into the house and falls in love with it. That happens, but I got to tell you, when it comes to actually what price they're willing to pay for that house they fell in love with, it's only a few percent more than the cold-eyed person who's been working with basis points his whole life and calculations. So yes, there occasionally you do see people falling in love with a house, but you don't really see them paying extraordinary amounts of money. So if you're overpriced, holding out for that one person is most likely going to mean all you're doing is just adding more days on market.
And the question, too, I have for a lot of people that have been on the market for over 30 days, 60 days, maybe the ones that came on in October on, you know, the market did slow down, so maybe they are coming into their prime time before inventory does come on the market. But I think it's really important that you, again, get with your listing agent and try to relook at the market and really see what's out there. And, take another look at your house through the buyer's eyes, not your eyes, and what has been a consistent theme if you had showings that buyers have let the listing broker know when they follow up with the showings that you might want to correct that might help you have a little bit better marketability.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things you can fix. There are what I call bad memory points. Cat boxes. I mean, people react.
A cat box? You're talking about that?
That's
going to keep someone from buying a freaking house.
Well, psychologically, it will. I've been on some marketing panels, and there's a psychologist who says that people decide with essentially their subcampus or their hippocampus, their lower brain, and the thing that most affects that reptile brain, as they call it, is smell. So if your house smells bad, yeah, it sets people off immediately. The other thing is mold, need peeling paint, any of those things that you can fix. I mean, you can't, unless you're really interested in spending a lot of money, you can't fix your layout. You certainly can't fix ceiling height. And you usually can't fix the height of the basement. But those other things that you do have the ability to fix, you want to be doing that now.
Yeah, one last piece of advice I think I would give before we bring Fred Camillo on, the first selectman, is you can't price too low in Greenwich. And the thing you can do is if you price it really well, you're going to get more than one person that's interested in the property. And then the seller controls the process because you've got people fighting to buy your house. But if you, again, have got that one buyer that's out there that really you're dealing with, they're going to control it unless somebody else comes along and, you know, finds your house extremely attractive. So,
yeah. By the way, when that one buyer does come along, cherish them, work with them. Anything that's reasonable, if your house has been sitting there for 3 to 6 months and you do get that offer, if they make a silly request like they want the upstairs toilet screwed down, do it.
Yeah, and also those that are going to list properties, you know, now's the time to really find a realtor that's been through a couple markets like this that can really help you and be creative on ways in which not only to get your house ready to market and market it, but really to be able to find numerous different ways. There are a bunch of things that are going to happen.
So basically, call Russ at 203-524-4998.
I'd love to help you. We're going to take a short break here on Greenwich Streets, and we'll be back with Fred Camillo, the first selectman of Greenwich, in a moment.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angi.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell, announcing a new crime show on Mondays at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH. All talk and all crime. The nation's biggest murderers were the go-to source for the Moxley murder and the Skakel appeals. Financial crimes on Wall Street. Inside the crimes of Russia's Putin and more. The facts, the forensics, the inside stories. From the host of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, it's Forensic Talk with Jim Campbell. All talk and all crime. Mondays at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Hi, we're back at Greenwich Streets. I'm Russell Pruner. With me is my brother, Mark Pruner. We work here at in Greenwich in real estate at Compass, and been talking a little bit about how the market fared in these first couple weeks of 2023. But we thought the only way to start 2023 was to bring the leader of the town, Fred Camilla, our first
the
selectman.
Most powerful man in Greenwich.
Yeah, and you know, talk a little bit about what happened in 2022 and all of that, sort of the highs and you know and what we're, Fred was trying to accomplish along with the RTM and BET, as well as then looking forward at 2023 and what might happen there. First of all, Fred, we're so privileged to have you, and thanks so much for coming. I want one of those sweaters with the town emblem on it. It's amazing, town logo. How are you doing?
General Putnam, good to be here, Russ, Mark, Bob. Haven't been here in a while, so it's always good to come back and visit. And certainly I was enjoying listening to you about the market there, so I could have stayed out there another 20 minutes and listened to more of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're hoping we get more inventory. What we're hoping is that as people find places to buy, they'll put their houses on the market. We had a really active weekend, and amazingly, the majority, as it was back when we were growing up, is two-thirds of the people were people who were either living or renting in Greenwich, and they want to upsize. So if that happens, their house comes on the market either as a rental or a sale. So that might open up the inventory. But it's supply and demand. Prices keep going up because we got more supply than demand. Demand's down, but supply is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I've heard that from lots of people who really want to jump on the market when they find out how much their house is worth, but they don't want to leave, and they don't want to get clipped on the other end. So a lot of them are staying put. Yeah. But certainly, I tell them to keep looking and find a realtor that can do it full-time for you while you're working and see if there is something out there that fits your needs better than where you are right now.
Hey, Fred, let me ask you a question. We're all natives here from Greenwich. Tell me a little bit about, you know, you growing up here and sort of why you wanted to be the leader of the town as you progress through your career.
Oh, I think that's a good question. Growing up in Coscop, I wanted to play center field for the Yankees. And not that being first selectman was a bad thing. I actually did follow politics, strangely, as a kid. But I had a cousin that was in the state house, Mike Morano.
I didn't know he was your cousin.
Mike and Al.
Yeah, Mike was the dean of the state house. He was just a great New England gentleman who, when he said something, people listened.
Well, I found out his nickname was the Beloved One up there. So, and the former speaker Balducci told me one day, and that's a hard thing to live up to. So I said, but now Morano, who was a congressman, but it wasn't really that. We were growing up here in Greenwich, we were really always watching the New York news, so I could tell you more about the New York City political scene growing up than Hartford. Right. We were like a borough of New York, so that's where the interest really started.
Good. Yeah. And then, you know,
so what was your first elected position?
Actually, the RTM for 3.5 terms in the mid 90s, and then onto the Parks Board, and then the State House in 2008.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you a minute looking back at 2022. And, you know, what do you feel were really some of the highlights of last year that you were really proud of?
Well, you know, coming on the heels of the pandemic, when we're coming out of it, and certainly facing the flood situation, where it's not just Greenwich; just every single municipality is going through this with outdated infrastructures. So, getting money from the federal government and also working into a budget to look at wherever and whenever we could fix a problem. You can't fix all of them, but certainly we made a lot of headway and still continue to do that right now. We're waiting for a study to be finalized in the next 2 weeks so we can get it out to people on the different parts of town. Getting GEM Station 4 up and running, getting the Civic Center torn down, and now that's getting going.
Yeah. That's been a three-decade effort. So for you to get that done is a real accomplishment.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very proud of that, and really proud of the work that the task force on Greenwich Plaza did about a year and a half ago. As you could see, right before I got elected, the town was in negotiations to sell the air rights for from between 10 to $15 million, and that was based on two appraisals, one from the town, one from the developer. And in return for those air rights, we were going to get some beautification efforts that had a public benefit on Railroad Avenue.
And because the railroad station is actually privately owned, isn't it?
The only one in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And so they were terrific to deal with. It was just a difference of opinion. We found out that those air rights were worth probably a few $100 million. We continue to work with the owner. They are terrific. They're a great Greenwich family. They've contributed a lot over the last 130 years.
That's Ashforth, right?
Yeah. They're terrific. But, we just felt really strongly and this task force, I give all the credit to really figure out and estimate what those rail rights are worth. So we kept them, which is great for the town, but also we are working together in supporting the efforts of the Ashforth to redevelop the train station. And some of the things they were talking about at the beginning are going to get done.
So that's great.
It looks beautiful. Yeah. So it's a win-win for everybody. And we're very supportive and grateful to not only them, but to the people on the task force. Going forward, I put together in the closing weeks of 2022 a group to, again, look at the Board of Ed building, which is again on our.
Yeah, if you haven't been in the Board of Ed building, it is just falling apart. It was the old town hall, the auditorium, which had a sloping floor like auditoriums do, has plywood over it to make a flat surface, and it just really needs some work.
It's heartbreaking because it was when you walk in towards that auditorium, you'll see on the floor it says 1892 in marble, and there's an old wooden ticket booth. So you get a vision of what it was like at the turn of this last century, two centuries ago. And the idea would be to get an RFP out there after this committee really figures out what the opportunity cost is of having the Board of Ed there, finding them another spot, seeing what they exactly need, because they don't need all of that. They've admitted they don't need that. But 20 years ago, then Superintendent Larry Leverett made a comment in the paper and said the building's in shambles.
Yeah.
So it's on our dime. And unfortunately, Chuck Rice was telling me the group that was put together 20 years ago with B. Crumbine and Peter Malkin, I thought they had $20 million pledged. Chuck Rice told me it was $30
million. Oh, my gosh.
So, and the town sometimes has a habit, whether it's the RTM or whoever, of rejecting things.
Yep.
We end up having to pay for that. So we really have to address it. So it's a two-step thing, finding out exactly getting the details on what's needed, what the Board of Ed needs. Two, finding them a place. And then three, getting an RFP out that would
– RFP is a request for a proposal for folks who don't live and breathe politics like some of us.
Yes, I have to remember that. So getting a request for a proposal out there to see if there's a better way where the town could have help fixing it up, but also have more access for the public than is there now. Because the only way you really – are allowed to go in there is if you have business with the Board of Education.
Yeah, and it is prime real estate, and if we could come up with some good use for it, you've got the Arts Center across the street. You could have a real something that would improve the community. And the other thing that you got the opportunity for is there's also a fair amount of parking that goes along with that building.
Yeah, it could be a little – it's a good point, Mark. It could be a little cultural district, and there are plans somewhere. We have to find them to – if you're looking at the Board of Ed building to the left, the parking lot to the left in front of the baseball field, you can go underneath there. Yeah. That's a perfect spot where it's not going to be something that's unsightly and sticking up. You can actually go underneath, and there are some plans for that. So while it will cost a lot of money, that would actually – that's the reason why we want to do a public-private partnership – that really is a game changer, as is what's going on in Railroad Avenue. In the next 3 or 4 years, it's going to have a whole different look. We're happy to see in 2022 this survey that Planning and Zoning put out about outdoor dining, and it came back overwhelmingly supportive, which we're very happy about. So things have been going. From the beginning, we've tried to marry the great past that we have here and respect it, but also look at a brighter future and transform a bit of the downtown area and other places in town to, you know, capture what the spirit of being outdoors. And certainly the pandemic highlighted that. So there's been lots of great things and lots of things to look forward to in 2023.
By the way, that's one thing I wanted to thank you for was navigating us through the pandemic. I mean, there were some really hard decisions to make. We had a fair number of people, unfortunately, die here in Greenwich, and it was a dire situation. And I think you and our governor together did a nice job of getting Connecticut through that and minimizing the number of deaths and illnesses.
Yeah, I wanted to go back for a second and really say I think how important that railroad station is in Greenwich. Because we are the gateway to New England. And the great thing about it is a lot of times in people we've worked with in real estate, their first introduction, they don't come by car. They come by rail. And to be able to get off and have something there that we're so proud of, that is so unique, that's the first impression that somebody gets when they come to Greenwich. And then as you continue, you know, up the avenue, not to say Greenwich Avenue isn't beautiful the way it is, but to continue to improve that sort of feeling, people are really amazed that, this is an unbelievable town. And, you know, then you can get into the things behind that. But they visually see it, and I think that visual impact is very, very important.
Yeah, that's a great point. Is people do get off, that's the first thing they see. So it's tired. It's an older station, and the plans are just beautiful. And so we're really excited about that. We're also excited about, the open space we've been acquiring, public-private partnerships, the 80 acres up on Old Mill up with the aquarium.
Behind my house. Thank you very much for acquiring that for open space. I will say it did cost me a commission for the two lots.
Oh, really?
I was a listing agent for those. So I used to be the assistant general counsel for Aquarian.
Oh, no.
I did get a nice sale over here on 5 Anderson Road. That they're fixing up. But I was more than happy to get an 80 acre park in my backyard instead of 2 4 acre sales.
Yeah, that's it was great. Sorry about the listings, but we're happy.
It's okay. It's better that Greenwich get it for sure.
Right, and your value is certainly protected up there.
Right. Yeah.
But also the 54 acres that Indian Spring has now with the Rockefeller property. The town certainly are in contact with the family, and they've listed it, as everybody knows. So we're in the game, and we're waiting for a phone call to see when there's an offer that they're going to accept it, and to see if we can match it. But we're also, some people that are interested in it have reached out, and some of the proposals are not bad, and there may be a little bit of development, but there'd be a lot of preservation and even some things that we can use.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would be a great place for a
park. Know, it's similar to what Peter Seaman did when Chieftain sold at 100 acres up off of Sherwood and King Street, where the historic overlay zone came into play, where he gave away 50 acres to get a little bit more density on the remaining 50 acres. And I think that development turned out really well and really preserved you know, a lot of land for the people up in that area. And, you know, I hope that continues, that, you know, you continue to look at anything that's large like that. You know, the famed one now, you know, up on the American northwest corner, American Can, that's, you know, I think 100 plus acres. And, you know, that density is coming down. And that's really good to see, I think, for the future of Greenwich.
It really is. So we're I think we're up to 900 open space acres, and we want to keep doing that. But certainly something like this, where if there's a little development, well, it's not – if it's done tastefully and right, it's okay, and it actually brings some revenue into the town while preserving more acreage.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way you preserve a lot of acres on Glenville as opposed to having it built border to border, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Is there anything, Fred, in 2022 that – not slipped through the cracks, but was sort of something that you really wanted to get done, and it just didn't get done last year, moving forward, that would be something that, you know, you really want to accomplish?
Yeah, you know, when we did the intersection improvement at Elm Street, it won awards, and I don't know why it became controversial. And then
I think it was intended to be a political issue and a wedge issue.
It was by certain people in town, unfortunately, and they used it again on Arch Street. Now, that had passed like five or six times of different boards and committees and commissions, and they appealed it. And what they did, there was a ton of misinformation on it. And by some people, I was shocked at. Wow. And we warned them that we were not in compliance with ADA statutes, and we wanted to make it safer. So when they rejected the free money, and I say it's free because – it's $2.8 million, and all we've ever heard is Greenwich doesn't get its fair share. So we've been working so hard to get these grants back.
Yeah.
So even though we pay our taxes up there, we're not getting any back. Now, this was the start of really trying, you know, in the next few years to get a lot of that money back. And they, you know, the RTM, 115 people kicked it back. And we got a letter that now we're threatened legal action about ADA.
Yeah.
And that the chief came to see me and said, we do have a problem there.
Yeah.
So they appealed it to the decision of RTM. And I saw the commissioner of Human Services said that, well, the town's going to fix it. Give us 12 to 24 months. So now we have to pay for it on our own dime.
Yeah.
So we're going to think about getting something out there. I'll get something out there and think maybe, you know, if it's possible even to bring it back again. We're erasing the clock on that one.
And that's right on the corner for our offices at 200 Greenwich Avenue across from Saks. The one thing that that I have been noticing, the main reason we bring Fred on the show is this way we can tell him our personal complaints right here on the show.
Wouldn't you know, a political guy, right? You know, political guy.
But yeah, what's been happening on the Avenue is two new trends. Is one is Uber drivers and DoorDash stopping in the middle of Greenwich Avenue and going in restaurants to pick up food to take out. And then we also seem to have an inordinate number, I've noticed, in the just in the last 3 to 6 months, of people stopping, putting their blinkers on, and waiting for someone to come out of the store. Now, occasionally it's somebody elderly, but a lot of times it seems to be somebody younger. And I've seen people sit there for 5 or 10 minutes waiting for someone to show up.
Well, Mark, thank you for that. But we're going to take a short break here on Greenwich Streets, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
He's my
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm in the medical field, and I think when you start out these things, you know, everything from the advertisement sounds so good that you're psyched up for it to work. It's working. Anyway, I'm happy.
Balance of Nature has made a big difference. It's just one of the greatest products, and it's just so simple, and it works.
Balance of Nature is a fantastic product. You could tell it's real. You could taste it. And it gives you really good energy, and it's just right up there with rent, electric cable, like things that you have to have. I'm not cutting Balance of Nature. No, I love it.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com for more information or to place your order. Shipping is always free. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code Laura.
My brother, Russ Pruner, and our first selectman, Fred Camillo. It's Martin Luther King Day, so Town Hall is closed, so we particularly appreciate Fred coming in. But I did want to talk a little bit about Martin Luther King Day, because we have a really diverse population here. And when you think back, he had some really difficult issues, but in the end, he really did some great things for the country and made this a better place to live. So, yeah, if, Fred, if you'd just talk a little bit about MLK Day.
Sure. I mean, people look at it now, and it seems like it's, ordinary and you know, an easy thing to support what he was doing. But in reality, he faced a lot of backlash, not only from one side, from both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
He was not radical enough to some people, and to others, they thought he was radical. And he also spent some time as a young man in Connecticut, which he certainly talked about. But it's certainly it's a very, very different time today than it was in the 50s and 60s. But you can't pick up a newspaper without reading one of his quotes, and they really do hit home. And, you know, whether it's he's up there with Teddy Roosevelt, like every day when I read something, I see a quote that really sticks with me. Sometimes we try to stick them in our weekly e-blast just to remind people when we're talking about civility and, you know, and doing the right thing and you know, and standing up sometimes. Sometimes you got to stand up and be loud, and you just got to do so with respect and courtesy for others, but he talked about that, but he wasn't always a popular thing when he was doing it.
Oh, that's true. But he was a great advocate of nonviolent protest and accomplished a huge amount with that, and left us too early.
No. Before we get into sort of talking about how government works here in Greenwich and all that. I just want to thank you, Fred, for your e-blast. I really appreciate those that don't know about it every Friday. Fred's great to put out something that's sort of what's happened during the week in Greenwich and, you know, what topics are important to point out, you know, about what's going on. So if you don't have if somebody wanted to subscribe to that e-blast, how would they do that?
Well, thank you, Russ. If you go to the town website, greenwichct.org, and then you look to the left on the bottom, you'll see the Office of the First Selectman. Go hit on that link, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see Community Connections from Fred. You click on that. It takes about 3 seconds. You give them your email address, and they will put you on the e-blast list every Friday.
Great.
Cool. Thank you.
So, yeah. Let's talk for a moment, Fred, a little bit about how we have an unusual structure of town government here. Can you give our listeners might not know about
it? People out west, they kind of go, what's a selectman?
Well, you know, it's funny. I did a guest lecture at the former mayor David Martin of Stanford's government class at UConn, and he's really smart, and he was teaching government, but he always says, I still don't get Greenwich.
Exactly.
So I tried to explain. I don't know if he understands it or not at all, even now, but Greenwich really is the Office of First Selectman, or could be Office of First Selectwoman at some point. It doesn't have the authority or the reach of a mayor of Stanford, where it's just a mayor and there's no deputy mayor. So we have a board of selectmen. It's all New England terms, like the mayor. And we have two select people, and we could look at them as deputy mayors. And in this day and age, we weren't elected more than 3 minutes, and people were asking us to change the name. And I'm okay with the board of selectmen, but as you could tell, we have three people on this board, and one is the first select man, one is a select woman, and one chooses to be called a select person.
Yeah.
And I'm used to it now, but when I first started, I would always screw it up. But the first selectman does a lot of things. Certainly, you're the ambassador of the town. You have a lot of feel good things you do, but you also field a lot of grievances. There's certain boards and commissions that you are solely in charge of, not many. There's about 11 departments under the Office of First Selectman. The rest, meaning 70% of employees, report to independent boards and commissions, the big one being the Board of Ed. But there's 11 under the First Selectman. There's the four big ones are the Department of Public Works, Department of Parks and Recreation, and police and fire.
Okay.
So the police and fire, you're also the police commissioner and the fire commissioner.
I understand you actually get a badge.
You get to do – the only thing you don't do is run the day-to-day operations. But you do – you know, if there's a grievance, they can grieve to you. Uh-huh. And you'd be the last stop before court. You also, can pick a new chief and promote and certainly pick deputy chiefs. And you do that working as a team with the administration. But right. Sometimes you may not agree on certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, in general, I think a lot of people agree on things. We magnify these controversies we have in town. But people are in general agreement on having really good schools, on having low taxes, on having good public works that function. I mean, you can almost tell when you leave Greenwich just by looking at the road. That you're no longer in Greenwich.
Yeah, let's Absolutely. Talk a minute, if we could, about two other things. One about committees and the other about the RTM, and sort of give the people a flavor of what those committees and RTM are really there for the political side.
Yeah, and how they interact with your office.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things. Most things have to go through them. The RTM, which is the fourth biggest in the country.
By the way, representative town meeting for anybody who's just moved here.
Yeah, the representative town meeting is our local legislature. It's the only ones that are bigger in the country are the U.S. Congress and I believe two in New Hampshire. So 230 other mayors and first selectmen and women laugh when they tell me that they have 20 people on their board of reps and they drive them crazy.
Yeah.
They say, "How do you deal with 230?" I said, "It's not easy. There's been calls, and I know some former first select men have talked about in the past wanting to trim it down. I've always kind of liked the size of it, even though it does slow things down. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, on one hand, it's good that bad ideas have to really be examined, so it's less of a chance they'll get through. But the flip side is when you have there's a good idea or something that's right. needed, you could have a few people just flip a switch and it's like something that's posted on social media, you know, get 300 likes and it's wrong. Right.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And by the time it's discovered that it's wrong, it's too late.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's it. But it's government. What did Churchill say about it? Was it democracy? It's the worst form of government except for all the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's served Greenwich very well. Doesn't mean it's perfect.
Right.
And, but they're, we try to work with them. The moderator, Alexis Algaris, is doing a very good job.
She now has rock music that is appropriate for each particular bill that comes up.
Yes, I know.
During the voting session.
Yes, there was something, I think, with the we had the introduced the officers on the bikes now, and there was some motion there, and she played I Fought the Law and the Law Won. And I was wondering, then I didn't know it was her doing that. But she's got a sense of humor, which I really like. And she can run a meeting.
Yeah. Tell us about the BET and how the Board of Selectmen work with the, what is that, Budget Estimate and Taxation?
Board of Estimate and Taxation. Yeah, so usually even selectmen that come from that board end up fighting with that board. And it's like that in every town.
Yeah.
We get along pretty well, but, there's always going to be disagreements. And, 20 years ago I may have been on their side saying, keep that budget low, keep the mill rate low. We always try to do that, and that's why I've really been working hard on the public-private partnerships, because there are some things we have to get done. And so the schools are, this year we're going to spend more on capital than ever before. And even that's not going to address a lot of the stuff, because this, one school alone is going to take up most of that.
Yeah.
So we have to do it. But if we have a good relationship. Again, we're not going to always agree, and there's some that are a little bit more stringent than others. But the way I look at it, it's, I wish I had some of those people who drive me crazy here on the BET up in Hartford, because we would have had much better legislation up there. But certainly it's they have a lot of power.
Yeah.
And they're, for example, I don't have anything to do with the operating part of the Board of Education, but I do have some say in their capital. Once they formulate what it is, that plan each year, they give it to me. and I have it for about 10 minutes. When I'm done with it, I give it to the BET, and then they can come.
I did not know that the budget went
briefly.
Through you.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Capital.
He gets to look at it. That's about it.
Budget. Okay. Yeah.
And I could change it, and then they BET can do whatever they want with it, and then ultimately goes on to the RTM. So they have a lot of power, and it's Democrat and Republicans, six and six, and it's worked well. It really has. So, it doesn't mean it's perfect, but it's worked well.
So let's talk about how you get to become a member of the BET or the Board of Ed or the Selectmen.
You have to traditionally go through the two-party system. So you either you're Democrat, Republican, and you go through the town committee process, and you have to be nominated. And then once you get nominated for the Board of Estimate Taxation and the Board of Education, you're on. And so that's
because they only nominate the number of people who they actually have for
usually.
That position.
How long are you on for?
Two years.
2 years?
Yeah. Most towns have 4-year terms for, like, mayor. Greenwich only has two. The same thing with the selectmen. You'd have to go through. You could be an independent or unaffiliated.
Yeah, we've had a couple try over the years, but nobody's really had much of a success, though they have occasionally been a spoiler.
Yeah. No, I think Sam ran in 2003 and actually got...
This would be WGCH radio personality
Sam Romeo. And he almost got as much as the Democratic candidate that year.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much of a difference. So, yeah. And no one to this day can tell you who he took more votes from.
Oh, wow.
Because Sam had support in both columns. So it could happen. And the way things are now, the atmosphere politically around the country... There's a little of that here now, so you never know. I mean, people I talk to are really getting tired of fringe politics. So you could be a traditionally classic liberal or classic conservative. I think most people are okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's when you start veering off into the fringes and getting too much with the conspiracies that people start to. Yeah.
It's so funny because we have some fairly conservative people, we have some fairly liberal people. But when they talk about what's going to happen in their backyard on the street where they live in common, it's surprising how much their interests coalesce.
Oh, you got that right. You got that right.
So actually, the one I've always thought was interesting was the two first selectmen run against each other, and then the two second selectmen run against each other. And then the way you ultimately figure out who gets on, I've always thought was interesting.
It is. It's a little confusing to people when you're not used to the system. But whoever runs for first selectman, whoever wins that is the first selectman or woman.
Yeah.
But then after that,
which we have had a first select woman.
Yes, we have.
A few of them.
Yeah, a couple of them.
I think Ruth Sims was the first one, then Rebecca Breed and Lolly Prince.
Yeah.
So we've got three. But
all good selectmen.
Yeah, and after the first selectman's decided, then it's really the top vote getters after the next two. So you could be technically a first select person that's running and lose and actually get voted off the board because the other two outpolled you.
Right.
So it's really a select person, a first selectman or woman can become a select person.
Right.
But a selectman candidate cannot become first.
Yeah, okay. Right. And by the way, the select persons are very important because they hear the traffic tickets in town. So if you get a parking ticket or something like that, you go down to town hall for a hearing. And I won one. I was parked in what I thought was a legal spot down at the train station. And the signage indicated that it was okay, day parking was allowed in this row. So I parked in the row, but it turned out it wasn't the north-south row. It was the east-west row. But so I went down there with my little digital camera, printed it out, went into the select person, and she agreed the signing was confusing and got it changed, which is one of the great things about Greenwich is individuals here can make a difference and can change things. So let's talk briefly about volunteers getting appointed to the board and things like that.
Yeah, well, traditionally, that's a good question. Traditionally, people would get on boards because they would volunteer in a campaign. And the winning campaign would start to look, when they get into office, people that helped them to put them on boards and committees and commissions. It still happens, but we've put on hundreds of people in the last 3 years. And a lot of them we never even knew.
Yeah.
And we're trying to build a bench, and I think we are, for all of the boards, committees, and commissions and task forces. So there's no shortage of people here wanting to volunteer. The civic spirit's high, and the skill sets are off the charts.
Yeah. And then how does the selectmen's committee on what
nominations?
Is it?
SNAC.
So that's what I was going to say, SLAC, but that's SNAC, a whole different.
So SNAC was started in 2003 by Jim Lash. It's very good. It's another layer of vetting. So they'll vet, and then when they're done, they'll go to the appointments committee, the RTM, and then if they pass there, they go to the full RTM. But we do a lot. There are some commissions that we don't have to go to the RTM, and there are some, like the Conservation Commission, I can do.
Yeah, like I'm chairman of the Board of Assessment Appeals. You guys were great in quickly getting us. Howard Richmond, the former tax collector who was on our board, has decided to spend more time in Florida. And luckily, Joe Hewley, who had been on the board, got on in a couple of weeks because we're getting ready to come up with the assessment hearings.
Yeah, I ran into Howard in Florida over the holidays. And
you get time off?
I worked from down there.
It was like everybody else. You can first lineman can work remotely.
Hey, he's here on a holiday.
Yeah,
you know, it was nice. It's okay to work as long as you got palm trees above you. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fred, let me change something for a minute. I think it's very important because, you know, people see you as the first selectman of the town of Greenwich, but I think it would be really important that people understand who Fred Camillo is. So can you give us a little bit of background just about you and what you like to do and what you love about Greenwich? I know you're a huge dog lover, and I saw that the other day, which I think is great. You've had a dog for a long time. I'm really sorry you lost
Rudy.
Rudy and all of that. But, you know, us a little bit about the guy behind the being first selectman.
Oh, good. It's not that exciting, but
come on, it is.
I grew up in Coscob. I mean, people see me walking to the gym every morning. It's, you know, it's nothing. You know, do a lot of hiking, a lot of kayaking.
Where do you go hiking?
All over.
Yeah.
Normally just mostly in Greenwich or on the border of Stamford. I love to go to Bear Mountain when I have time, but and places like that. But whenever I can. It's funny, when the rumor that Tom Brady was coming to Greenwich 2 years ago, a Boston radio station called me up, literally. Yeah. I was driving to work.
Yeah.
And the first thing they said was, so Mr. Mayor, who's driving you? What kind of car are they driving you to work in? And I said the Bentley is being fixed and just a Jaguar.
Exactly.
Oh, poor guy.
Exactly.
By the way, he does not have a chauffeur. He drives his own car, but he does give a very nice parking spot.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes in a pickup truck, a Ford Ranger. But they were the woman who was directing the show kept texting me saying, keep it up.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things, you know, it's important too, Fred, in your spare time, besides just hiking and all of that, you know, what would be your perfect day here in Greenwich if you could have it?
In my spare time?
Yeah, I know. You have very little, so there's not.
You know,
that might be at midnight when no one else is around. But,
you know, I love walking around the different neighborhoods. Obviously, Greenwich, especially when it's warm, Greenwich Avenue is terrific. Yeah. Seeing the outdoor dining, there's nothing that compares to like sitting outside and eating when it's nice and warm.
Yeah.
Our parks are second to none in the state. Whether it's Bruce or Benny or Byram, I love walking there. I mean, that's what I think all of us sometimes take for granted, or just getting on the Island Beach boat, which feels like you're on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Even if you just go out and never get off, you do it at lunchtime. Yeah. It's a great trip.
It's such a beautiful asset to have.
Yeah. Fred, we can't thank you enough for coming on our show. We'll like to have you back in the middle part of the year, and we'll talk a little bit about what's happened. But everybody, thank you for listening to Greenwich Streets, and we'll be back with more next week. Talk to you then. We'll be right back.
This is your community radio station serving lower Fairfield.